Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, students. Welcome to our
Good evening,
Tuesday
students.
Evening.
Welcome to our lesson Thursday summary evening review. Lesson summary review.
I pray that
Thursday
your day
and we go over our
wherever you
bachelor's
are
degree and practical ministry courses. And we are on our second course, which is entitled.
So welcome to our classroom study tonight, students. I thank you for tuning in with us and being a part of Grace Bible College and Seminary. Tonight on Tuesday, we're going to continue with our course entitled Who Jesus Is. And tonight we're on session number 4, which is dealing with Jesus, the Son of Man. So I pray that you have your study guide material and your notes, that you can study this material with us. This session will help us to understand the relation of the title Son of Man to Jesus. It will also show us how Jesus was fully God and yet totally man with man's nature, and why it was necessary for him to assume the nature of man. And so it's very important that we understand this concept, which can be somewhat difficult from our finite mind to grasp, but we pray that this lesson review will help you to be able to understand it better as you apply it to your faith walk with Christ, in addition, as you share it with others. Now, as we always do, we're going to take some time to pray and a time of preparation to get our hearts and minds ready to receive the message tonight. I pray that the Lord will help each and every one of us be in tune with God, and that we will pray for guidance, and we pray for each and every one of our fellow students and staff members of GBCS. I'm also going to ask you to meditate upon the fact that it's not often that we think of Jesus, the Son of Man, as being truly man with a human nature like ours. But as we think about this and we pray and meditate upon it for a moment, we need to embrace the fact that Jesus was fully man and that he faced the same problems that we face each and every day. You can see a reference for that in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 through 18. Now let's get a word of prayer in, saints, and then we'll get started with our lesson tonight. We're studying session 4 of the course, Who Jesus Is, and we're going to seek him in prayer now. Father, I thank you. I praise you. I give you glory. I give you honor. I give you all the praise. I thank you for your dominion, your power, and your majesty that is being revealed in us and through us and to us each day. May it continue to do so tonight as we study your word. May it come alive for us. May your spirit continue to empower us for success and victory. We thank you for our salvation, for our healing, and for provision in our life. Let your perfect will be done in us and through us and to us. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome again, students, to our Tuesday evening lesson summary review. Tonight we'll go over our associate degree course, Who Jesus Is, and we're on session 4, which is entitled Jesus, the Son of Man. Now, as we think about the introduction for this lesson review, I like to ask this question: is there an easy way to explain that Jesus is fully God, yet totally a man with the limits of human flesh? Well, as you went through your studies, students, I'm sure you encountered some questions and some things that challenged your understanding. And so the answer to this question is no. This is a very difficult concept for us to understand. As material man, as natural beings, it's very hard at times to conceive of a spiritual truth. And so the spiritual concepts that we're studying in this lesson may be hard to comprehend since they are not limited by the elements of time and space that we can relate to or in the way that we understand them. Now, another question this lesson pointed us to was, what is the key to understanding Jesus as the Son of Man? Well, the answer is to have a personal relationship with him, to have faith in his word, and to sense the witness of God's spirit in our spirit. You can see why that is true if you take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It'll let you know why that is a true statement, because without the Spirit of God, we cannot understand spiritual things. So take note of 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. That will bring that to your attention. Now, what we're going to do next is we're going to list some of the main points that our lesson led us through. If you studied through your study guide, you've already encountered these headings, and if you're going to be studying these courses or if you're just listening for your spiritual enrichment, you can take a blank sheet of paper and you can write these points down. The first point that our lesson is going to go over is how the Son of God became a man. So our first objective asks us to choose statements that describe how the Son of Man, Jesus, became a man. And the first thing that it pointed out under this heading is his incarnation. His incarnation. That is, that the Word became flesh. Now, let's define the term Son of Man. And you can write the definition down on a blank sheet of paper as you understand it. And then we're going to be able to go a little further into this study. Here are the four things that our lesson pointed us to. If you looked in your study guide, there were four points regarding what the title Son of Man means. And let's go over those four points right now. The first point is that Jesus had a real body and a human nature. You can see a reference for that in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, as well as 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. A second point that shows what the title Son of Man meant is that Jesus was the seed of a woman. You can see reference for that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and also Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. A third fact that we can list in regards to this is that Jesus belongs to the human race. You can see an example of that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, John chapter 3, verse 16, as well as Romans chapter 5, verse 18. And the fourth point that I like to make in regards to Jesus' incarnation is that what the title Son of Man means, that Jesus was on a mission, just like men have missions. We can see in John chapter 1, verse 29, John chapter 17, verses 3 through 4, Luke chapter 19, verse 10, as well as Mark chapter 10, verse 45. So we're talking about how the Son of God became man. This section talked about his incarnation, and it gave us four things that pointed to the fact about what the title the Son of Man means. One, he had a real body and human nature. He was the seed of a woman. He belongs to the human race, and he was on a mission. Now let's look at a second point about how the Son of Man became, the Son of God, became a man. Second point is he was born of a virgin. Now, let me ask you a question right here, students. What would be a major requirement for Jesus to have a human nature? Well, the answer is that he had to be born as all men are. So Jesus was born of a woman just like each and every one of us was. Yet, Jesus' birth is unique. He was born of a virgin. You can see an example of this in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. And also, if you were to read Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, you'll see how God confirmed his word. It was prophesied that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. And so when we see the account in the New Testament depicting Jesus' birth of the Virgin Mary, we see indeed that God is fulfilling his word. Now we have a visual aid at this point in our study review that talks about the Jewish betrayal. You know, in the text leading up to Jesus' birth, it talked about the fact that Joseph was betrothed to Mary, a virgin. And so let's understand a little bit about this process of being of betrothal in the Jewish culture. It'll help us understand why Jesus was referred as illegitimate by the Pharisees and some of his enemies. And we'll also understand from this visual aid the relationship of Mary to Joseph prior to the conception of Jesus by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary. And we'll understand the scripture passage. You can write this down from Matthew chapter 1, verses 19 to 25, which deals with Joseph while he was betrothed to Mary. And it will help us to understand, as I mentioned earlier, why Jesus was called illegitimate by the Pharisees in John chapter 8, verse 41. Now, I want to note that Mary and Joseph did have children later, as we see depicted in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 47. But the Jewish betrothal in Jesus' time meant that Joseph and Mary, that the parents at this time selected the bride for the groom, and the new bride would become a member of the bridegroom's family. And actually, in these particular cases, marriage wasn't necessarily based on the love that each partner had for each other, but love came for many after marriage. In this betrothal process, an engagement or promise of marriage could be broken, but a betrothal, which was the case with Joseph and Mary, that Mary was betrothed, the scripture says, to Joseph, it was a covenant that could not be broken. Another thing we understand about this process, usually a written document of betrothal was signed, and the families of the bride and groom gathered with other witnesses to see it signed. Then the man would give his future bride an article of value, such as a gold ring or a document of marriage, and he would say, "See, by this token you are set apart from me, according to the law of Moses and of Israel." And 1 year usually elapsed between the betrothal and the wedding. And now when the wedding got ready to take place, the bridegroom went to the future bride's home. He brought her to his house for the wedding ceremony. But before leaving her home, she would receive a blessing. And the physical relationship did not occur until after marriage, until after the marriage ceremony. And what's commonly referred to as a dowry was paid to the bride's parents for the bride, and the dowry acted as compensation for the lost work of the daughter. The dowry could be cash, goods, or services. You can see an example of that in Genesis chapter 29, verse 18. And some of the dowry was shared with the bride. So this information gives us a little bit of the understanding of the process or what the meaning of being betrothed was in the case of Mary and Joseph, and it helps us to understand the situation into which Christ was born. Now, we establish two facts as we look at Jesus, the Son of Man, today. We see in how the Son of God became a man. We talked about his incarnation. We talked about the fact that he was born of a virgin. And a third point I'd like to make about how the Son of God became a man was that he accepted human limitations. And we can refer to Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 11, where it talks about the fact that Jesus left his position of deity or equality with God the Father to become the earthly Son of Man, that he humbled himself and became a man. So let's take a look at our second visual aid. And of course, if you're studying in the classroom, your network training center director will have a copy of the visual aids for you. If you're studying by distance education, contact us, and we will more than gladly give you a copy of the visual aids. The second visual aid is talking about the characteristics of Christ's human nature. So we're going to look at some scriptures, and then we're going to ask you to add to the list any other characteristics that you may think of. So if you have a blank sheet of paper, you can make notes and you can jot some of these things down. So here are some of the characteristics that our study guide pointed us to. You can, if you're making notes, you can write as a heading, characteristics of Christ's human nature. And here's the first one. There are about 12 different points that the lesson made for us. Point number one, he was born of a woman. You can see a reference for that in Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 to 25. The second point is that he had brothers. You see an example of that in Luke chapter 8, verses 19 through 20. Number three, he learned a trade as a carpenter. In other words, he had a job as a carpenter. You can see reference for that in Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Number four, he ate and drank. The example or reference is in Luke chapter 5, verse 30. Here's a fifth characteristic of Christ's human nature, is that he had compassion. We see reference for that in Mark chapter 1, verse 41. A sixth characteristic is he wept. Make note of John chapter 11, verse 35. Here's a seventh point about Christ's human nature. He suffered weakness. The reference is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, number 8. He became weary and he slept. Look at John chapter 4, verse 6, as well as Luke chapter 8, verse 23. Number 9, he prayed. Reference for that is Mark chapter 14, verses 32 through 36. Here's the tenth characteristic of Christ's human nature, is he became angry. Find that in Mark chapter 3, verse 5. Number 11, he was subject to human authority. The reference for that is found in Luke chapter 2, verse 51. And the final characteristic of Christ's human nature that our course and study guide pointed us to was that he bled and died. You can see the reference for that in John chapter 19, verses 33 through 34. So there you have at least 12 characteristics that depict Christ's human nature. So these help to validate and show us that he was like us in so many ways. In fact, he was like us in all ways so that we can understand how he can relate to our life, our existence in the earth. So we're studying our Associate's Degree course entitled Who Jesus Is this week. We're on session 4, which is entitled Jesus the Son of Man. So what we've looked at thus far was his incarnation. We saw how he was born of a virgin, how he accepted human limitations. And now we're going to take a look at some of the facts that show how he lived a perfect life. This is some of what separated Christ from being completely like us, because unlike us, Christ had no sin. But he died to take upon the sins of the world. And only way he could fulfill the scripture that was written, that a perfect Lamb of God, even in the Old Testament text, a lamb was slain to symbolize the sins of the people. But Jesus comes as the perfect Lamb of God, as we saw John the Baptist proclaim him, who takes away the sin of the world. So in order to qualify to be able to do that, Jesus had to live a perfect life. Now, if we were to review the record of Jesus' perfect life, you can make note of Luke chapter 23, verses 13 through 17, where Pilate found no fault in him, even though he was accused by the Jews. We can see in Matthew chapter 26, verses 59 through 64, that the Sanhedrin relied on false witnesses in order to convict Jesus. We see in Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 19, that there is none good but God, Jesus told his early disciples, and we know that Jesus is incarnate. He is God made flesh. We can make note of John chapter 8, verse 46, where Jesus challenges anyone to prove him guilty of sin. Now, I'd like to ask you a question here, students. How could Jesus live a sinless life? Well, some of your answer may include the following points. Number one, he had his heart set on doing the will of the Father and walking in obedience to the Father's will. Number two, he would watch and pray. You see, students, this is the secret of the Christian life. Deciding to avoid sin and to live for God. You can see an Old Testament example of that from Daniel. The reference, Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, where he and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, decided not only to avoid sin by worshiping false gods and idols, but that they would dedicate themselves to living for God. So just avoiding sin is not the complete cycle. You have to live our lives, as Paul says, as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing, and acceptable unto God. I also like to stress that what is brought out on in our study guide about Jesus' perfection, it is not describing it as a result of the absence of evil, but more of, as the point I was just making with you, more of a dedication to doing what is right. So if we define perfection as the proper relationship to God and to one's fellow man, Jesus basically said, like, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. You can also see that this could be summed up using an Old Testament scripture from Micah chapter 6, verse 8, where it basically talks about what does the Lord require of us, and that is to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before the Lord our God. So we understand, if we look at the life of Jesus, as Paul wrote about him in Philippians, that he humbled himself and took upon the form of a servant. We need to understand, students, that walking humbly with God is the opposite of what Adam and Eve did in the garden when their pride expired. They aspired to be equal with God. They didn't want to submit unto God's authority. They wanted to have authority themselves. And that's why sometimes we have to be careful what we ask for, because we just may get it. We see it in the case of Adam and Eve with the sinful nature that they now possess, the knowledge of good and evil. They now had dominion over their own lives to a certain degree. For God created them with a free will, but they chose to disobey God instead of submit to God's authority. And that's how sin entered into the world. And we've seen the results of man's dominion ever since. This is why we must be born again, not of the water, but of the water and the Spirit, so that we can receive a new spirit, to be regenerated or to be quickened or made alive again, as Paul says to the church in Ephesus. So we understand a lot about how Jesus humbled himself and dedicated himself to doing what is right. Now, one final question I want to ask about this section of our lesson is this. What was the key to Jesus' earthly life and relationship to the Father? Your study guide talked a lot about that. And the answer that the study guide pointed you to that I want to bring to your members today is obedience. If we were to read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, and Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 through 9, we can understand that the scripture shows us that Jesus learned perfection through obedience to God and suffering. You may also want to make note of Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 15, and see how it may relate to your life, how we may need to humble or submit ourselves to God's leading in every area of our lives, turning our back on sin and making the decision or dedicating ourselves to live for God. That is what the basic root definition of the word holy is set apart, consecrated for God's service and God's purpose and God's will. Now, the final section of our review tonight will deal with why the Son of God became a man. Our first part of our lesson talked about how he became a man. Now let's study why. So this objective asks us to identify four reasons why the Son of God became man. And here are four things you can make note of in your notes. Number one, Jesus became a man to reveal God and perfect manhood to us. Number two, he became man to prepare for his mission as ruler or king over our lives. Number three, Jesus became a man to become our substitute in paying for our sins. And number four, Jesus became a man to bring God and man together, to reconcile God to man. If you were to make reference to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 through 6, to understand the mission and ministry of Jesus Christ. Let me read it for you briefly. 1 Timothy chapter 2, I think it is, yes, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. Verse 5 says this, students. It says that the goal of this command is to love, which comes from a pure heart. But we have to understand that Jesus was the example to show us that he was the one mediator between God and mankind. He gave himself as a ransom for all people. That was Jesus' purpose for coming as a man, to die in our place, to pay the penalty for sin that we had incurred, not that he had incurred. And so that's why it's very important that we understand why, not only how he became a man, but why he became a man. Now, our exercise sheet gives us four other revelations about Jesus' manifestation as a man. I want you to write these things down. The first point is revelation. Jesus became a man to reveal the Father to us. You see Matthew 11:27. He became a man to show what the Father does by doing the same thing. See John 5, verse 19 to 23. He came to be an example of perfect manhood. Again, he committed his life to doing the Father's will. He came to reveal the life of God in the life of man. And he came to demonstrate a life devoted to service to others. In preparation, Jesus became a man to be made perfect through suffering, to grow an understanding of human nature through maturation in wisdom and stature and favor. He became a man to identify with sinful man in water baptism, to share in our weaknesses so as to qualify to become our high priest. And he also became a man to qualify to rule over God's kingdom. In substitution, Jesus became a man to die for our sins, to forgive our sins, to be the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world, to express his love through being the atoning sacrifice for sin, and to justify men through his righteous act. And through mediation, Jesus became man to take away the sins of man, to turn away God's wrath by receiving the punishment for man's sin, to make men holy, to reconcile God and man through the Spirit living in man. And finally, Jesus became a man to intercede for believers. So, students, I pray that you will have a better grasp and understanding of Jesus, the Son of Man, not only how he became a man, but why he became a man, and to ask yourself how this applies to your life. The fact that Jesus had an earthly life as a man should remind us that Jesus empathizes with us. He knows what we go through, and he can help us to go through it. So I pray for each and every one of you students that you will gain a deeper level of understanding and that the Lord will care for you as you trust him more with your life. I look forward to speaking with you on our next session, students. In the meantime, you all be blessed and good night.